Today we're going to tackle two things, hope and patience. So you're going to have patience because I'm doing hope first. All right? Because I think that as I was preparing for this message, I began to think that maybe hope and patience do kind of connect in some ways. Because we all need hope in this life. I think more and more, especially in the late news that we're hearing today of attacks in the East Coast and attacks on the West Coast, and we hear of people that are dealing with cancer and people that are dealing with just losses and all the stuff that's going on, and it's so often that we start to lose hope when we hear these stories. And we are a society that really doesn't handle patience very well, because not only are we losing hope, but we're losing patience to try to get a lot of this fixed or taken care of. And I think today would be a good day to maybe talk about these two subjects. We all want hope. I think we all want hope that our today is going to go better than yesterday. And we all hope that our health will improve. We all hope that maybe we'll get a job or a better job, or that we'll have enough money to retire from. I hope that this sermon works. We hope for a lot of things. And it's hard for us sometimes to go through the days, because with all the stuff that's going on in our lives and our busy schedules, we tend to forget about that hope. But I want to read you some scripture this morning. We read part of it as our call to worship. But from Hebrews 6, 18 and 19, it says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And all of the storms of life that we try to cope with, the hardships and the struggles, and even death, I think we can all learn to understand that we have an anchor that's keeping us from sinking and in the waves of life, and to come into a less than hopeful existence when the winds start to howl around us. So we may feel helpless, but we don't have to feel hopeless. No matter what hand life deals us, no matter what happens to me or happens to you, no matter who likes me or likes you or who doesn't, we still have hope. Because our hope is not dependent on our income, our health, our situation, our circumstances, or other people. So, how do we find, or where do we find, the true and lasting hope? Well, we're going to start today by listing some things that I think are important for us to think about, that oftentimes, you know, we know that these are right, but sometimes when we're struggling with hope, we kind of lose sight of it. The first thing is, we can find hope in the person of God. Because we know that God is both great and good. He's great because God knows all about me and my situation. Is that scary or what? It says in Psalms 56, 8, record my lament, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Isn't that incredible? That God knows every tear that we have ever shed. God knows us up close and personal. He's tallied everything that we have gone through. Say, well, you don't know the struggles I am going through right now today. You're wrong. God does. You may say, you don't know the struggles that I'm dealing with right now of breaking a bad habit. God knows. You may say, I don't know, or nobody knows how depressed I am, or the depression and the fear that I'm going through today. Well, God does. He's recorded every tear, every heartache, every fear. He knows it all. Nothing escapes Him. The second thing is that God cares about me and my situation. Psalms 31:7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. He doesn't just know about our troubles, he cares about them. Psalms 103 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows we are formed, how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. God knows that we are weak. He knows that we're not perfect. He made us. No one knows our imperfections better than he does. And what is his response? It's not judgment. It's not persecution or punishment or anger. His response is tender-hearted compassion. That's who God is. God wants to be the father many of you may never have had. Tender and compassionate. This love is unconditional. It's not based on your performance. It's based on God's character. God is so great that he knows all about me and my situation. And he's so good that he cares and wants to do something about it. The other part of this is that we receive hope through the power of God. The best news of all of this, that he knows and cares about us, and he cares about our situations and knows about our situations, that he's given us the power to change us and to change our situation. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 18 says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the confident hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and for God's power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. There's nothing more powerful than God. His power is great and awe-inspiring. It's this great and awesome power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. We can plug into this tremendous power as well, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Sometimes this great power can change us, but it also changes our situation. This hope is not some sort of wishful thinking or idealistic optimism. It's a confident assurance. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, I should say. It is a confident assurance that no matter how we feel, no matter what we are going through in life today, whatever struggles we may have, our God knows what is happening. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows how we feel, and he cares about us, and he's given us the power to change us as well as the situation. We also have the promise of God, a promise for God, promise of God for today. Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Some of you today may feel that you're going through some deep waters. Maybe some of you are feeling that you can no longer tread water, that your head is going under. Maybe you're going through a fire today, and the heat is on in your life. You think you're going to get burned or burned out. God promised that he will be with you no matter what. That even in the deepest of despair and the darkest of days, he will not leave you. You may be sinking, but you won't drown. You may be getting burned, but you won't be consumed. You may get hurt, but there is healing. He also promises us tomorrow. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. For in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. When it comes down to it, Christians have hope because we know that whatever happens to us in this world doesn't ultimately matter in the grand scheme of things because Jesus has overcome this world. We understand that though we may have trials and suffering, there will be a day when all these things will pass away. We are reminded of Revelation 21, verse 1 through 4, that tells us of and describes to us what heaven is going to look like, and that there will be no more tears, there will be no more sorrow, no more pain. And it helps us, I think, to deal with the hardships and the struggles of life today because we have this confident hope for tomorrow. Well, how do we live with hope as our anchor? That's a good question. Because as I shared with you before, hope is something that we struggle with on a daily basis. I mean, all we have to do is look at the news. But this confident hope that we have been given changes us. It changes in the way we think. Psalms 33 says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You." Without hope, we think that we're looking for what we see today, success or money or houses, family, health, maybe our favorite sports team. When those things seem to be going well, we seem to be in a pretty positive mood. But when things are not going well, we easily lose hope. But this confident hope keeps us looking ahead. It keeps us knowing that what is to come is far greater than what we are dealing with now. It also affects how we act. Psalms 146 says, "Do not put in princes, in mortal men who cannot serve. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God." No matter what happens in this life, we can be joyful because our hope isn't in people. It isn't in our personal plans or prosperity of this world, but in God alone. We can deal with the hardships. We can deal with the suffering. And we can deal with the obstacles of life, knowing that these things are only temporary problems, that they will not affect the outcome. We can understand that nothing can change the person, the power, or the promise of God. It also changes who we are. Psalms 31 says, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord," because our hope is anchored in who God is, which means that we can be strong and courageous in the midst of the storm. Even though the waves may be coming up and the world may be shaking around us, we can remain unshakable. For I am reminded of the first Christians who held tightly to the anchor as a symbol of hope during the period of Roman persecution, where Christians were taken out of their homes and they were burned at the stake or thrown into the lions in an arena for entertainment, or they were crucified, and much, much more was going on to them. Without sounding too graphic, where did they find their encouragement, their strength and hope in the midst of this horrible persecution? Surprisingly, it was not the cross, because that was a symbol of excruciating, shameful death. It was like a noose or an electric chair, not very helpful. But they clung on to the symbol of hope from the book of Hebrews. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. So no matter what happens today, no matter what we are going through or how we're feeling, we have an anchor deep holding on to our hope for tomorrow. Now, we've talked about this idea of hope and that we had this hope in Christ. It is our anchor. It's what keeps us going. It's what keeps us heading in the right direction when things are not going very well. And believe me, things are not always going to go great. We are going to suffer health issues. We are going to have to deal with obstacles in life. But our hope is in the Lord. That these are only temporary, that they're not going to be for very long, and that our ultimate victory is when we stand before God. And as Paul would say, I'd rather stand before God than live here on earth and dealing with all this madness. Paraphrasing, of course. But how do we deal with patience in the midst of all of this? Patience is definitely a resource that seems to be running out. We are constantly having our patience tested. We have all multiple opportunities every day to do two things, either keep our cool or lose our cool. And maybe you are like me and sometimes may pray this prayer, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Maybe we're all like that. It's been said that if you ask God for patience, He won't necessarily give you more patience, but He will give you more opportunities to be patient. Isn't that the way it works? Life is stressful, that's a fact. Patience, though, is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. How many of us can do that? The wisest man in the world said, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Patience equals wisdom. Impatience equals foolishness. But where do we get this rare resource called patience that always seems to be in short supply? How does God provide for us the help we need to deal with stress that leads to impatience? Well, first thing is by example. God is patient with us. 2 Peter says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God does not jump all over you when you make a mistake. He doesn't give up on you when you ignore Him, walk away from Him, or defy Him. He's not disappointed when we drop the ball. Rather, He waits. He waits patiently for you to repent, ask for help, and return to Him. Psalms 86 says, but You, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And if God is with me, then I should be able to be patient with others. Right? Patience received with gratitude from God produces patience extended in, I'm going to create a new word today, quantitude to others. Now, I know that's not a word, but me. And I made it up so I can make up how it's spelled. But we also know from His empowerment. Like all the virtues that we are discussing today, patience is something God produces in us over time as we commit ourselves or submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's leading. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And as we let God refine us, God gives us the strength to persevere, and the perspectives we see in life change. We are no longer looking at things through our own eyes, but now we are starting to look at things through God's eyes, not our own urgency. James 1 says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Patience is something that is slow-aged to maturity like fine wine. But it also takes patience to produce patience. We also learn through his encouragement. Ephesians 4:2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love." We have an idea in our mind of what should happen, when it should happen, how it should happen, and rarely does this ever match up with someone else's ideas. We live in a society that demands my way right away. We are conditioned to believe that we should never have to wait on anyone or anything. All in all, what we're saying is my time and ultimately my life is more important than yours. Being patient demands that we sacrifice the self-importance of our own personal agendas, not necessarily for the sake of the others, even though that's important, but it's more for the sake of our own souls. And we can encourage patience by giving each other room to fail, to learn, to develop at our own pace, instead of demanding our own schedules, our own timing, or our own outcomes. Can you imagine what this kind of patience would produce in our church today, in our community, in our families, and maybe even in the workplace? That we would show godly patience. But how do we show this patience? How do we do that? Two things. First of all, we need to slow down. We need to take a moment before we start to show impatience and take a deep breath. Dr. Barton Sparagon says the impatience, he believes, is killing all of us. Emails, cell phones, laptops are to blame. We bring our work home. We bring work on vacation. Technology has increased to pressure to do more of the same in the same number of hours. Our impatience has led to some serious health problems. The doctor calls it hurried sickness. We develop heart attacks, or we have heart attacks, palpitations, depression, anxiety, immune disorder, digestive ills, insomnia, migraines. All these things used to be what attack 40 and 50-year-olds, but now they're seeing these same symptoms in children as young as 10 years old. The bottom line is impatience is turning us into patients. Why is that? Why is it that in the pace of life, and because it has so quickly and dramatically changed, we seem to be growing ever more impatient? We get impatient because the light changes yellow or red when we're in a hurry. We're impatient that on the same day that we're trying to get somewhere and stop for coffee, there's five people in line where yesterday, when I wasn't in a hurry, there was only one. We find ourselves getting frustrated when we have to wait 5 minutes for something when it used to take 5 hours. So much of our impatience comes from the pace that we run at. We get tired and stressed because our schedules are too busy, our plate too full. We take it out on someone else because of what we've done to ourselves. James 1 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." The New Testament uses two different Greek words to describe patience. The one word, macrothymia, literally translated, means long anger. It carries the sense of taking a long time to burn with anger. We think about a pot boiling water. What are the two factors here that speeds up or causes the pot to boil, or the time it takes? Well, it's the flame, the size of the flame, or the intensity of the flame, and the size of the pot. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel, it says in Proverbs. So what is the temperature at which you boil? How long does it take for you to lose control? How long does it take before you overheat? In life, you can't always control the size of the flame, but you can control the size of the pot, your capacity for patience. Slowing down our lives slows down the boil, even when the flames are high. Slowing down allows God to intersect in our lives, or intercede in our lives, so that we can see things the way God sees them. It allows us to give to others instead of concentrating just on our own selves. Slowing down closes the gap between where we are and where God wants us to be, and gives Him time to develop compassion, mercy, and love in us for others. Not only are we to slow down, but we also need to keep moving in a positive direction. The second word for patience is hypomone, which literally means remained under. It carries the same sense of remaining calm under pressure. Translated, perseverance. No matter what happens, you just keep your cool, keep going, you persevere. We can avoid many pressures and stresses by simply slowing down, but then keep moving to avoid situations and circumstances that come our way, and we just ultimately have to deal with them. 1 Corinthians says, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You may be struggling right now in your marriages or relationships or in your job or whatever it may be. Don't jump ship. You may be struggling with your children, your grandchildren. They're testing your nerves and you just want to ignore them. Don't ignore them. Maybe your job is really stressful and you just want to quit. Or maybe your health, you're suffering right now and you just don't know about it and you just don't want to battle it anymore. We usually want the quickest results, but God wants the best results, and that's going to take time. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. In closing, there's a story of a little girl who visited a farm one day and asked to buy a large watermelon. The farmer said, well, the large ones cost $5. And the little girl said, well, I only have three. And he said, well, the smaller ones I'll sell for you for $3. And he points to the field where the small little watermelons were still attached to the vine. And the little girl smiled and she gave the man $3 and said, that's perfect, but I won't come and pick it up for another month. Just leave it there. That's a smart little girl. Because she knew her patience would be rewarded with a big ripe watermelon for the same price as the small one. So what are you missing today that God wants to grow in you to maturity? We all need hope, but we also need to have patience. Because in your life, God wants you to grow. But what are the things in your life today that you are impatient to wait for? That you are impatient for God to fix or take care of? Let's cling to the hope that we have in God, and let's pray that God will not only give us the patience to deal with the things of life, but also the strength to grow in patient endurance. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I think all of us here today need patience. All of us here today need a hope that carries us, to see things the way you see things, not the way we want to see things. Help us, Lord, to have that hope even in the midst of the stuff that's going on around us. Help us to trust in that hope and believe in that hope. And help us to know that we have to have patience so that you can work. And in the process, we can grow. I pray this for all of us here today. I pray this in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.